All right, hello again, and welcome to Keep It Close to Me, a podcast about the things we love and, you know, life and stuff. I'm Chris, I'm your host, your podcast pal, and today we are going to be recording an episode that is just nothing but your Twitter questions to us, and hopefully that'll be fun, because we said quite a while ago, we asked you guys for some questions, and we thought we were going to have enough time to answer all those questions, but we ended up talking for much longer than we had planned to. These things happen when you're taking tangents on things and just going and seeing where the conversation takes you. And you may notice that I've said we a number of times, and the reason I'm saying we is because it's the same person that was here for that episode is now here for this episode, and that is my good friend Matt Drain.
Hey, everybody. We didn't forget.
Yeah, we didn't forget. We totally did not forget after we asked you for those questions. We just ran out of time. And we stopped things and we're like, you know what? We will come back to these questions later. And that's exactly what we've done. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Okay. Well, glad we got that out of the way. And I mean, we could sit here and we could lollygag and talk about what's going on. But let's get to these questions and have it not take nearly as much time as we think it should. And then be in a really horrible, like, oh, the episode was 10 minutes long. Sorry. So the thing was, I think on the last episode, or when we were recording it, when we had asked for these questions, we were talking about our best of 2017 stuff.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and so everything that we're... these, I think we just had asked you, you, our kind listeners, we'd asked you guys stuff you were into, just for questions in general, but for if you had best of thoughts or questions, right, or things like that. So let's just... We said we would take whatever questions you had, though. So let's see how some of these questions go. Don't look at the questions.
I can't see that far away. Okay, anyway. All right.
Some of these questions I realized are going to be stuff where I'm like, oh, you may have no idea what this question is even talking about. I think we got a couple wrestling questions.
Okay.
Yeah, good luck winging that. We'll start with this then. At James D. Leach asked, who should Chris Jericho fight after Naito? So go ahead, Matt, wing it. Who are these people?
Yeah, well, I know who Chris Jericho is.
Okay.
I don't know the second name.
Naito is a wrestler from New Japan Pro Wrestling, which is like the WWE of Japan, if that helps you out at
okay.
all. Okay. I don't know exactly how I could describe him for you to like give you like some idea of what his but it doesn't matter, because the question is who should he fight after that?
His greatest enemy.
First of all, I'll say I'll pull you off the hook here a little bit, Matt. Is it for sure that Naito is Jericho is even going to do a feud with Naito? So when we asked for this, Wrestle Kingdom had just happened, and it looked like Jericho is moving into a feud with Naito. And I honestly don't know if that has even happened. I don't know if Jericho's doing anything else with New Japan. There's so many people in New Japan, though, that I would love to see Jericho fight just to see what would happen. I would love to see him fight Tanahashi. But I don't think that that's on the table right now, because it looks like Okada and Tanahashi are moving into a thing after Sakura Genesis. And I'm sure, Matt, you understand everything I'm talking about. Man, I don't know. Like, honestly, though, yeah, the first person that came to mind was Tanahashi. I'd love to see the two of them. I don't want to see Jericho fight Okada. I mean, it would be great, but I don't think that it's not like Okada needs to beat Jericho, and I don't think there's any chance of Jericho beating Okada, so what's the point? That said, though, watch them do that, and then it'd be amazing. I don't know. Honestly, yeah, Tanahashi was the first person that came into my mind.
Same.
So I hope that answers your question, James. The next question is, I'll skip down to this one. At the Comics Kid 2099 asked, what did you guys think of... You may remember we talked quite a bit about Green Lantern last time.
Okay.
He asked, what did you think of... Actually, I think we haven't even released the episode. We just said we were talking a bunch about Green Lantern because that was when we were talking about that. You'll remember this is why we ran out of time for Twitter questions that time, was because we recorded several different things.
Yeah.
And one of which was where you gave your pitch for an idea for what you like a Green Lantern story. And so we had been talking about Green Lantern.
It's all coming back to me.
Yeah. But I don't think that people, I don't think I've actually even released the episode yet where we talked about that. We just said in the best of 2017 episode that we had talked about.
Yeah, we did that first.
Yeah, we did that stuff first. Well, because I just started recording and we were just talking, which is what I always do. We just kind of talk a little first while I'm recording. And that's only, I just do that so it kind of like gets things moving. It makes sure that all the levels are where they should be. And it also helps us get some of that like initial, you know.
So my Green Lantern comic pitch is out there.
Yeah, it will get released. This reminds me, I need to edit and release that. So that's, thanks for the question at the Comics Kid 2099, because it completely reminded me.
So what's the question?
The question is, what did you guys think of Green Lantern, the animated series?
You've seen more of it than
I've seen all of it several times. I absolutely love it. I should let you borrow it because it's fantastic.
You did let me borrow or gave to me.
Oh, well, there you go.
And I hadn't watched that, but when it was coming out, I'd watch maybe five or six episodes that I liked. I've just not gotten to sit down and watch all of it.
Well, that's a bummer. You should watch it. It's really good. It's like it's probably like one of the best Green Lantern things ever. And it sucks that like the whole reason that show didn't continue was because they couldn't places that sell toys didn't want to buy the toys associated with it.
Seems to be an ongoing problem for Warner Brothers Animation.
Well, basically, DC's like animation across the board, they only make these cartoons to sell toys.
Right,
is basically the problem. And so, if you can't,
are the cartoons too expensive to make to be supported by advertising like other TV shows are?
No, it's that they want all the money in the world.
Just greed, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically, I mean, some, there's, that probably plays a part in it. It's like, that show was definitely expensive to make. Mm-hmm. It was, you look at it and it looks great. It looks like $1 million. Probably cost more than $1 million.
Yeah.
It looks like it cost more than $1 million. But they have this thing where, if you can't sell toys off of the show, then it's, unless the show is just super, even when a show is like popular, it can still get canceled, even if like the ratings are great and it's, so it's pulling in those
advertising dollars.
You've got to sell. And the only reason they couldn't sell any stores on toys for the show was because stores still had all this leftover Green Lantern merchandise from the movie.
The Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern.
Yeah. Which coincidentally enough, going back to our James Bond talk earlier, that movie was directed by Martin Campbell, who directed GoldenEye and Casino Royale.
Okay.
Which made me very excited when I heard. I was like, oh, this guy's such a good director. And it's like, oh, turns out space is not his thing, maybe. I don't know how much of that movie is his fault.
There's probably lots of things.
There's probably like a lot of blame to go around for why that movie was such a mess.
Just a terrible choice in villain. And
just all, yeah. So many.
Tone wasn't
odd
quite
choices.
Right.
I think Ryan Reynolds is great, but I was like, I did not see him as Hal Jordan, like his personality, not even like the look. I mean, he looks like a superhero just in general. Like you could kind of plug him in to any, white bread superhero and go like, yeah, close enough.
Yeah.
You know, he's ripped and handsome and So I was like, but it's like his personality does not feel like Hal's personality to me. And speaking of Green Lantern, the animated series, he's not like quippy.
Right.
He's kind of witty in general, but he's not quippy. And it's like his wittiness comes from his never-ending supply of confidence or overconfidence.
Right.
It's like occasional smugness. Which I think Ryan Reynolds could pull off, but they were really trying to make him.
So is Hal the star of the animated series?
Yes.
For the run of it?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, but it's also, it's like he is surrounded by an incredible supporting cast. And that's what makes it work. It's like all of the interpersonal relationships on that show are just wonderful. It's like you really, and everybody kind of ends up having their own stuff where it's like, oh, this is why I care about what's happening mm-hmm. with them. It's never just, I mean, it's Hal's the focus. He's like the center of it, but the story is, it's not like it's just about him. The story is about what's happening in the universe.
Right.
And Hal is just your sort of like person in the middle that we're kind of like, all right, I know what's going on sort of through him.
But they take the time to develop the other characters and they've got
oh
arcs,
my gosh. So, yeah. I can't, I mean, you know, by the end of the series, when you are like, and I'm not one of these people who usually watches shows and I'm like, oh, I hope these two get together. But holy cow, there's two people on that show where I was just like, this has to work out for them.
Do they?
I don't want to spoil anything.
Okay.
But it's just like, well, and there's like that you care so much about. So in the first episode, and it plays a whole big part throughout, but Hal gets this, he basically kind of sort of borrows. I won't say he steals it. He borrows this really advanced ship because they need to have them.
The toy. That's the toy.
Yeah. That was the toy they wanted. Exactly. That's the toy they wanted to sell. But it's, so it's like, so Hal can have like, so like Hal and his, they knew they were going to put a group of people gotcha. Around him. And it's like, so they have something to, somewhere to be and have scenes when they're going from one place to the other instead of them just flying through space.
Right.
And they come up with ways, reasons for why this and that. All very, very well done and like stuff where you're going, yeah, sure, that makes sense. Yeah, they need the ship's got a hyperdrive, whatever.
Yeah.
Special experimental hyper warp
drive. Remember Alan Moore's Green Lantern story where he explained why Abin Sur flew around in a ship when he had a Green Lantern ring?
No.
There's basically
I'm sure that when you say this I'm gonna go like, oh, that's right. But
so he hears that the prophecy from the Kingdom of Tears, those really creepy guys, prophesy about his downfall, and I think it's something like, you know, the ring's gonna run out of energy at just the wrong moment, and so he always wanted to keep it fully charged, so he wouldn't expend it to fly around, so he got a spaceship to fly around, and that's why it's a spaceship that crashes on Earth instead of just
wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful. Didn't help.
I've oversimplified it, but it was a good story.
Yeah. It's still, you get the idea. That's the show is great. It's like you care about, so part of the thing with the ship, I don't know if this is, they explain all this in the first episode, but I don't know if that's
it's
one
been
of the ones
a
seen.
Little while. Yeah.
So the ship has got this like, you know, very like state-of-the-art futuristic artificial intelligence to operate. Like part of why the ship is so experimental, whatever, is because it's like, something to do with this warp drive or whatever that it has. It needs like this artificial intelligence to be able to program it to go whatever. And like that you care so much about the ship's artificial intelligence, like as a character, which, and of course the ship, it ends up getting like a body, but that you like, it's just this, it's the voice on the ship and you care about it as a character. And its growth and development. And Kilowog, like you, when there's just everything about, and like the first episode even is just like, they do such a great job of like setting up, you care all about Hal's relationship with Carol and like and they do stuff that the show is just great. If you've never seen it, it's like a complete crying shame that we couldn't have more of that show just because.
Is Carol Star Sapphire in it?
Yeah.
Cool.
Well,
I'll have to watch it.
I mean. Yeah, eventually.
Eventually,
she is.
Okay, but not from the get-go.
Not from the get-go. And the way that she ends up being Star Sapphire is like, the way that they have that happen is like, does not seem like madness. You know, it does not just seem like, oh, this is the person who's around.
Right.
Like in the comics, the way she becomes Star Sapphire is like a little bit, but then of course, it was like the
comics,
you know, the 60s or whatever, you know, whenever, I can't remember when that happened. I'm going to assume it was in the mid-60s, where it was just like, everyone's love interest eventually got turned. They had an issue where they get turned into a villain. It's like, oh, I can't have her find out about
or an animal or a
yeah, exactly. So to answer your question, I love it, and I try to like recommend it as much as I can to people. It's really great, and it's such BS that
the only reason we didn't get more of it was because the toys didn't sell well for that movie that didn't do well. And just what a bummer.
And it'll still be difficult, I think, if whenever Warner Brothers decides to try to revisit it on the big screen. I think it's still going to be an uphill battle no matter how much time passes.
Yeah, no matter how much time passes. And no matter, I mean, but the only reason that movie didn't do well was because it wasn't good. Mm-hmm. People will go see a movie if it's good. Even if it's with someone where they're like, no one's going to watch this.
Right.
I mean, we got a question on here that made me think of this. We got a question about Black Panther because when we asked for these questions, Black Panther was about to come out.
Yeah, I think it wasn't out yet.
Yeah, it wasn't out yet, but it was about to come out. And that's a movie where they were like, for years and years and years, they were like, we can't do a Black Panther movie. No one's going to go see a movie with, you know, blah, blah.
Turns out.
Yeah. Well, just a movie where they were, you know, they said that, and the same deal with like, oh, people aren't going to go see a Wonder Woman movie. I'm like, well,
yeah,
I guess they will if it's decent. If you make a good movie, people will go see it. People want to like these characters.
I feel like, and it may just be because Marvel, and particularly cinematic Marvel, is riding high right now, but I feel like Marvel could more easily do a Fantastic Four movie, even though there's been a terrible Fantastic Four movie more recently than that Green
Lantern.
No
one would care.
Like,
if it's like good.
If they put out a Fantastic Four movie today, people would totally forget about the one.
Literally today. If they put it out today, no warning. If they're just like, hey, we just made a Fantastic Four movie in secret. Go
see
it. Here
you go. We're going to drop it in secret. Like a Beyonce album.
Yeah, exactly.
Get to your theater.
Yeah.
But they could do that, I think, more easily. The Warner Brothers could try to revisit Green Lantern, even though it's been how many years? Yeah. Six.
2011 was when the
seven
other one
years.
Came out.
Yeah. So anyway, it'll probably happen eventually, but.
Well, there's supposedly one on their docket. But also, the problem with DC's movies, and this is radically shifting gears, but the problem with DC's movies is that, like, we don't, like, there does not seem to be any kind of. Marvel has got the benefit of they did this slow build and they have Kevin Feige.
Right.
Everyone knows there's like a clear vision and
someone's hand on the wheel.
Someone's hand on, exactly. There is someone standing at the helm of that ship. And like, even if some of the movies, like tonally, if all of the Marvel movies kind of tonally feel the same, they are still different within that. It's like the tone feels the same because they're all in the same world, but the movies themselves are different.
Mm.
You know, it's the characters are different. And even if they have some of the same things happen where it's like, oh, so how many of these movies are the good guy fights basically a bad version of themselves?
Right.
But Captain America fighting the Red Skull is nothing like Captain America fighting the Winter Soldier, even though that's both.
Right.
And neither of those are like Black Panther fighting Eric Killmonger.
Right.
You know, like, even though it's the same kind of trope.
Yeah.
It's done completely different. So
we had a Black Panther question?
Yeah. April, or I'm sorry, at SAD on Twitter, who is April, asked... predict which box office records Black Panther is going to beat. And apparently the answer is all of them.
As of recording, I think it's surpassed Jurassic World at the domestic box office. So it's the third highest grossing domestic box office movie of all time. Highest grossing superhero movie, hands down. And then I think it's the third highest movie overall domestic gross.
More than
I think they're saying as of this week it'll pass Jurassic World,
but well no the, I was more on the superhero thing because it's
past Avengers already,
and past The Dark Knight.
Yeah,
wow.
I think Avengers was already ahead of The Dark Knight.
Huh, okay,
yeah.
There you go.
People really liked it.
Yeah. Well, also it's I mean yes, absolutely, and like seeing people be excited about it in a way that they maybe had not been excited about superhero movies before. You know, people from different demographics than are normally excited about superhero movies, plus people who are excited about superhero movies just in general. That's been so cool to see. And just like, I can't remember if I've told this story on the show or not, but I think I may have told you. I'm going to say it again either way. When I went to... I think we talked about, man, did we? Memphis apparently had one of the like the highest turnouts for Black Panther in the country or whatever. But you know, it was hard to get tickets here for quite
a while.
Long
lines. Lines around the theater.
Not
like
even
that.
Able to, like, I literally could not, I go to all of these movies like opening night.
Right.
Even trying to buy tickets in advance, couldn't get tickets.
Right. I did the Friday matinee because I can't do late at night anymore. So I do noon the next day. I bought tickets online over a week in advance, and even having already bought tickets, there's still a line just for that kiosk that wraps around the whole building.
Yeah. But I went up there. I tried to go. I was like, I'll go to the matinee on Friday. You know, since I couldn't get into the Thursday night showing, I was like, I'll just go up there. And I went up to the theater, and it said something online where it's like they weren't doing any more online tickets, but like you could still come up to the theater and get tickets or something. Maybe they might have something. I went up to the theater, and it was like an hour or an hour and a half or something before the theater even opened on Friday morning.
Yeah.
And there were already so many people lined up outside waiting to get in. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. But the best part was there's this mom walking with her little boy. I'm assuming that it's a mom and it's her son. I don't know, but it probably was. But she's, and they're walking along that row outside, you know, that little walkway where they've got all the movie posters. And of course they have got on that row, because they had so many Black Panther movie posters. Because it was like, we're showing it in IMAX, we're showing it in 3D, we're showing it regular, you know, like, so they had different posters for all of that. Plus, it was taking up like most of the screens, it seemed like.
I think there were some theaters that took up every screen.
Everything. Yeah. It's just all Black Panther. I'm going to come back to
Come back to the kid and the...
Yeah,
maybe
but mom. Like, you know, I ended up getting to see it, but I ended up having to wait until like the next week to get to go see it. And it was still, I had to go during the day to even get a seat. And then it was like while April was at work. And so then just like a week or two ago, April finally got to see it. We both had the same night off and were like, I was like, you want to go see Black Panther tonight? And she was like, yeah. Because she wanted to, but she wasn't going to go see it without me. Even though I had already seen it. She just, April's not that, she's not a go to the movie by herself person. Been out for however long, you know, months.
Still packed.
You know, and it's not like we couldn't find a seat, but there were still so many people. And it was just like on a weeknight, you know, in the middle of, you know, 9 o'clock showing in the middle of the week or something. And it was like, there were still so many people in there. It was just very cool to see. But this was like the absolute coolest thing, is watching this mom walking with her kid. And the little boy he's holding under his arm. He's not like holding any of it in his hand. He's got it like under his arms and like kind of holding onto it with his hand. And then one hand holding her hand walking, and they're just stopping. And he's just staring at the posters, just at each one. He's just staring at it.
Yeah.
And then move to the next one and just stare at it. Oh, but what he's holding, he's got like a Nerf gun and two lightsabers. And he's holding the lightsabers by the blades. And he's got the Nerf gun like tucked up under his arm. And he's just his eyes were just big as saucers, just looking at those posters and seeing those characters.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is the coolest thing possible. Like seeing this little boy but I just love these, like, can't go to the movies without my lightsabers.
Mine being those.
Yeah. You never know. You never know what's going to happen. I appreciate that kid being so prepared. I have no idea. Oh, I was like, what does that have to do with Green Lantern? But then I remembered we had asked.
Records did Black Panther break? I think a ton.
A bunch.
A ton.
The other question April asked was, what all IKEA stuff are we going to get to put in our new house? I don't know. Have you got any suggestions as we're sitting in the new house? That Matt helped us paint. Thank you very much, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Matt was like, guys, if you need to hire a painter, Matt is apparently an expert at it. He came over after we had already been painting like for a couple days, and the speed and quality of his painting was befuddling. And it was also, I was like, why did we not get you over here sooner? Because you were doing such a better job than we were doing. You said you had just had some. You guys had just painted y'all's
place. Yeah, we over the winter break we'd painted a bunch too.
I just wanted to publicly thank you for your help with
absolutely.
That. So what do you think? What's some IKEA stuff we should keep an eye out for?
Goodness, honestly, IKEA intimidates me. It's a little bit psychological warfare for me to go into that place. I get real. It's just so large, and if you've never been in an IKEA, it can't really quite describe it until you experience it. But it's so big. Everyone's different. Maybe you love that, but for me, I got real anxious. I'm like, it's still going. It's still going.
How much more store can there possibly be?
They have the store set up as showrooms that you kind of weave through like a labyrinth. You can't see the exit. You can't see outside. That might be a little panic-inducing for you. And in the middle of the store, the halfway point, they've got a little cafe.
It's funny that you say this because I had never thought about this aspect of it before, of how it's like, how would you get out of there in a hurry? And I've never thought about that before, but now... that's going to be my...
They have diagrams drawn, but still, something about not being able to see clearly where the exit is was a little bit anxiety for me. And then, they've got this little cafe area set up in the middle. Like, okay, you're halfway through, let's eat some Swedish meatballs and whatever else. And the food's all cheap, but this is my first time ever in IKEA. I'm going through with my wife, Jackie, and she says... at that point, I felt like I'd been there hours already. And Jackie says, as we're passing the little cafe area, I said, okay, we're halfway through. And I let out a big laugh because I thought, surely not. Surely we're done. Like, yes. this has to be
this
it.
It's got to be the
and
end.
And then she wasn't kidding. Like, that was the halfway point. And that's when I started to panic. I'm like, this place is too much. It's too big.
So this was since the one here opened.
This is at the one here.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the only time I've been once since then. But yeah, this is my first time ever going to one.
Oh, wow, okay.
And
because April and I have gone to them, and anytime we've gone out of town and to a city that has an IKEA, we have had to go. I mean, I don't say that like she made me go. I mean, like we both felt like we have to go.
And they're really cool. Just like pace yourself and manage expectations.
Plan for it. Yeah,
and,
you gotta. I can imagine now. Yeah, if you didn't know what you were walking into, I can see that being.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
But they got some cool stuff in there.
No suggestions for things we need?
I don't know.
I know we're going to get some... We've got plans on... the thing is like, we don't know for sure if that's like where we're going to get some of this stuff.
Right.
But I know when we go next, I'm planning on looking at some nice bookshelves. Nicer than
that's what we got there. We got a really tall... bookshelf that fits in the corner of the room, which just looked really cool to us. And then I can't remember if we got the desk from there or Target, and then we got a chair for a desk. That's what we got the second time we went through.
A chair for a desk.
Right.
I thought you meant we got a chair that we're using as a desk. And I was trying to imagine what this chair looked like. I was like, I don't know. IKEA has some weird design stuff.
Weird
I was
stuff.
Like, maybe... Maybe that makes sense. Well, hey, folks, if you guys have got any ideas for things we need from IKEA, by all means, tweet those at us or email those to the show. The email address is in the show notes. Let's move on from this IKEA question before we both have panic attacks. At BrandMed asks, again, a wrestling question that I think might be aimed a little more. No, we'll get your answer.
All right, all right. Let me have it, Brandon.
This has already happened, but it won't make a difference to you because you don't know.
It's new to me.
He said, who do you want to see win the Women's Royal Rumble? I'm hoping for Nia Jax. Now, if we had answered this question beforehand, because I had people ask me this before it happened in real life, and my answer was the same the whole time, and it was my pick for who I wanted to win was also my pick for who I thought was going to win. You know, because sometimes you're like, well, I want this person to win, but I know this person's probably going to win. My pick for who was going to win. Yeah, my pick for who was going to win and who I wanted to win were the same person, and I was absolutely right. But so who do you want? No,
I don't think I can name a single female wrestler, not a single one.
So
who's the most famous female wrestler?
Of all time?
Or that I might know just by the name. Okay.
I don't think there is one.
Okay.
Necessarily. But that's changing. It's where the things are changing. Do you know who Ronda Rousey is?
I know the name.
Okay. She's a UFC fighter.
Yeah, I know her from UFC.
Yes, but
she's
crossed over. She's having her first match this Sunday at WrestleMania.
Okay, well, I do know that name. So, yeah.
Yeah, so now her, I would say.
I think Ronda Rousey should win the whatever.
She wasn't in it, but okay. she did make her debut at that, though, after Asuka won, who was who I wanted to win and who I thought was going to win and who I thought should win.
Did she lose a UFC thing pretty bad?
Yep.
Okay. That's what I remember seeing. Yeah. Yeah. I would lose it worse, I guarantee. Stop hitting me.
I would lose before it started. Please do not hit me. Don't strike me. Don't grab me. Don't put me in any kind of holds. I don't know how I got here. I don't want to be here. Please don't hurt me. I'm not built for this. You're clearly very well trained. I don't know how I got here.
Let's talk about this. Let's negotiate.
Yeah. I don't even want to shake your hand because I know you could just rip my arm off then. But yeah, I completely 1000% wanted Asuka to win and thought that she was going to win. And I'm glad she did. She was 100% the correct choice. So there you go. Take that, your choice of wanting Nia Jax to win. Sorry, Brandon. Brandon also asked, since Justice League confirmed Green Lanterns exist in the DCEU, here's another Green Lantern.
Yeah,
question.
It's coming back around.
Which Green Lantern would you like to see join the Justice League, and who would you cast for that Green Lantern?
Okay.
I wish you could have seen how thoughtfully Matt was stroking his beard as he thought about it.
I feel like they should go with Jon Stewart. Just to change things up, we've seen Hal and
to play him, Jon Stewart.
I don't know who should play him. Who was up to play him way back when they were talking about
Common? I believe was who.
Yeah,
was
you're right.
To, I
you're
think
right.
Common was who was signed on to play him in that.
The one that didn't.
The George Miller mm-hmm. one, which man. As much as I didn't like the sound of that when they were originally talking about it, not Common, I mean just the George Miller Justice League. All the stuff I heard about it, just nothing felt right about it to me. But now, the more I hear about it, and especially after having seen, I think Fury Road is just an absolute masterpiece.
Yeah, it's great.
Now I'm like, there's all these movies now where, okay, so when they talk about some of these movies that didn't happen, or there was these movies that were like actively in development and then they fell apart, mm-hmm. whatever. When they announce those movies, or when that stuff is happening, I'm always like, not always, you know, because I thought Batman Begins sounded like a great idea when they had first announced it. You know, when the scuttlebutt about it. It's always like when it's happening, or for the ones that sound like bad ideas, you're going, oh no, I don't like the sound of this. I don't want this. But then after it doesn't happen and you get some distance from it where you can have like a little bit of, what do you call it?
Some more perspective.
Perspective. Thank you.
I want to see what they would have done with it.
Yeah. You start going like, you know what? Well, have you seen that documentary, The Death of Superman Lives?
No, you told me I should watch it though.
You definitely should. You 100% should. That Death of Superman Lives movie, you know, for years we were making fun of like Tim Burton, Nicolas Cage, Superman movie. And
is that the one Kevin Smith was writing? I've listened to him talk about it.
Yeah, but then they weren't even going to use his script. By the time Tim Burton got attached to it, they weren't even going to use his script. He had like his writer come in and like do a complete different thing. But it's like we only had that one like crappy picture of Nicolas Cage in like a suit that wasn't even the suit they were going to use. It turns out it was just like some kind of test thing.
Color,
they were doing.
Probably palette test.
Or some kind of whatever. And then you see the suit that ends up being the suit that they were actually going to use. And I'm just like, this looks incredible. You know, I like it better than the Man of Steel suit.
Oof, yeah.
You know, it's like you look at it and you go, yeah, that's Superman. I mean, it's Nicolas Cage's head sticking out of it. But it's like, and when you get that distance from it, it starts making you go like, I wish I could have seen what that mm-hmm. would have done. Now, maybe that would have ended up messing up. You know, in a perfect world, what you would like is, I would like to see all of these versions get made and there's no repercussions of like, oh, well, if this had gotten made, they wouldn't have made X, Y, or Z.
And I think you want it, like, so it's maybe not going to be the definitive whatever, but you still want to see what they would have done with it.
And now I'm going, like, with that George Miller one, even though it seemed like such a bad idea now to me then, and you know what? If it had come out then, I probably still wouldn't have... It might have been beyond my capacity mm-hmm. to appreciate at that point. But, like, or you see this, the test shots of Henry Cavill as Superman from when they were going to do the J.J. Abrams Superman movie. Mm-hmm. And he's in this suit. And it's like, you know, that would have come out before Superman Returns. Or Superman Returns.
Cavill was already cast for Abrams.
He tested for it.
Oh, I didn't realize that. So yeah. He's been playing the long game.
He's been trying to be Superman for quite a while. Or they've been trying to make him Superman for a while. But I mean, he wasn't the only one. But there's been like a couple pictures of that have come out of him, like from his screen test. And the suit looks super cool. And you go, huh, that movie sounded like a terrible idea. But now I'm kind of like,
yeah,
I wouldn't mind seeing that. I tell you, a thing that I love is movies like... When a movie is a debacle, or like a huge movie cost a ton of money and then it was like a huge flop mm-hmm. or something, even when it was good, but it just didn't find an audience because they didn't market it right or whatever, you know, something like the obvious, the first thing that comes to my mind about this specific example is John Carter. Like, just the problems of that are... You could write a whole book about yeah. what all went wrong with why that movie didn't become a big hit. And not only could you write a book about it, someone has. And the book is fascinating. And
it's a lot of politics stuff.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into it. I could talk.
I know toys to sell.
Yeah, exactly. but it's like, I love when... But with all of this stuff, it takes, you know, 10 years. It takes time. For enough time to pass to where people finally start going like, yeah, I guess it's all right to talk about this now.
Right.
And for the real stories to come out. And I cannot wait. There's so many movies that come out where I'm like, I know this movie is going to be a disaster. And I cannot wait for 10 years from now mm-hmm. when we get to finally see the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Someone makes the documentary or someone writes the book that explains what really happened with all this stuff. Like with so just recently, I guess it's probably been out for a couple of years now, but that documentary that came out about the never released officially Roger Corman Fantastic Four mm-hmm. movie. Have you watched that documentary?
I've seen clips of it. I've not seen the whole thing.
Well, it's on Hulu for a little bit. I mean, it, actually, now that it's after April 1st, they may have taken it off. But it was on Hulu for a while, and I watched it on there, and it was fascinating. And those like that Death of Superman Lives, that documentary is fascinating because you're like getting to see just how all these different pieces move.
Mm-hmm.
And you go like, oh, there's all this stuff that has nothing to do with the people that were actually the creative people making the movie that ends up ruining these things.
Right.
And it's, you know, like that Fan-Four-Stick, Josh Trank Fantastic Four movie. I cannot, while I was watching that movie, I was going, I cannot wait for the documentary about this that's going to come out years from now that really gets into all it. Same deal with Justice League.
Yeah.
What a mess. And it's hilarious on the bonus features on that movie because like I went out and got that Blu-ray the day it came out.
Sure.
I was like, I have to see what
bonus stuff do they put on it?
Not much. Because they can't do much. It's like there's like a whole thing about the costumes. But it's like that takes up, that's like the longest special feature on there. It's like this thing about the costumes.
So they went bare minimum on special features.
Well, there's a bunch of different random things on there, but it's like they can't get anything like really talking to Zack Snyder about it. They can't really get anything talking to Joss Whedon about it.
He recently did it's pretty brief. Joss Whedon recently did a statement on some of it. But he's dodgy on it. It's not really...
Well, and I'm sure they're all under, you know, penalty of getting in trouble.
You don't want to... I mean, they want to blame or burn bridges, ruin relationships.
Yeah, no one wants to... But it's like, someday, though, we'll get to hear the full story of what really happened with this. And then I cannot wait. So, back to your question, which
who
was...
Should play Green Lantern?
I totally agree. I think it should be Jon Stewart. I have no idea who should play him. There's tons of good people out there.
Yeah, and as a Green Lantern, Green Lanterns don't have to be physically strong. Yeah, but John Stewart. But we think John Stewart, Marine, you know, he needs to be a tough dude.
But also John Stewart is like, he's also an architect after his military life. You know, he was an architect. I think that's what his deal was.
No, you're right.
That was always kind of the thing. It was like, you know, Hal's just boxing gloves and whatever. Right. And then Kyle was...
real creative cartoonist.
Creative cartoonist. But like, John's stuff was always like very, like, really like, well thought out.
Engineer, architect, something like that. Because you see all the stuff pieced together.
Yeah. I don't know who would be a good fit for that, but there's lots of people that could. Oh, what's his name? I'll tell you who's great. I'm not telling you. You probably all already know this. But the guy who, from Get Out, and then he's T'Challa's friend. I can't think of his name.
I know who you're talking about, though.
In Black Panther.
Yeah.
That dude. And he, like, to me, I was like, yeah, and he, like, he's already got that short, like, sort of almost, like, military style haircut. And I was just like, yeah, I could see. Because, well, and obviously, it's like, you have to think about, all right, who's not already a Marvel person? Or who's not already somebody? I don't know. Maybe he's too young, though. Because he's, like, I mean, that's probably what they want, is a young guy. But I was like, John Stewart actually should be older. Because I bet that him and the guy that play Cyborg are probably right around the same age.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, and the actor they got playing T'Challa is much older, even though he doesn't look it. I want to say he's in his 40s.
Really?
Yeah, but he looks so young.
Holy cow.
Chadwick Boseman. Yeah. I want to say he's 40-something. I'm not...
You got to look this up, because I need to know.
How old is Chadwick Boseman?
Is she going to tell you?
I don't know. I've got to type
Siri,
it in.
Are you going to tell?
41 years old.
Holy moly.
Yeah, 41. He really, doesn't look it.
Hey, yeah, if you told me he was 25, I'd go, sure.
You know, he could do Jon Stewart, but he's got a much better gig going.
And he's like, I think I'm going to stick with this. That is cuckoo bananas.
Yeah.
I just can't believe that, because he looks so... I mean, and it's like T'Challa...
And his co-stars are in their 20s and stuff.
Yeah. And T'Challa seems very... I mean, it's like... Because doesn't, like, M'Baku, when he comes out, doesn't he, like, even call him, like, a boy?
He's youthful. Like that? Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you, man. Holy cow.
The actress that plays Nakia, I think, is in her 20s. And, you know, all the other actors and actresses, I think, are much, much younger. And he's like, he's a lot older than them, but he doesn't look it.
He does not look it. Good for you, buddy. Man, may we all find a way to look that good when we're that age. Holy cow. That has really derailed me, because it's like, if you had said he's 23, 22, I would have gone like, wow, I would have been like, wow, that's younger than he seemed. I would have just gone like, okay, because he still looks so young. But it's like, I was like, man, that's impressive that he's able to seem more mature than that. This has blown my mind. Wow. Yeah.
Any other questions to get to?
There's more. But I'm still, I'm trying to think of who, I'm still kind of hung up
on. Oh, thinking about who should play Green Lantern. Yeah, so who if they did go with Guy or Kyle, who would play them?
Also, I feel like I am not great at this game. Not because I think I'm good at it if I have a list of of people in front of me. But just think, hey, I'll tell you what, this is something I wanted to ask you about anyway. As you know, obviously we've talked about, I started to ask you about this earlier, even when we were talking about Marvel doing a Fantastic Four movie. Did you see that thing where John Krasinski was saying he
would
love...
Yes, I'm all for it.
I figured that's what you were going to say, but
he and his wife both. I've seen stuff saying it should be him and have Emily Blunt be Sue, and then
that would be fantastic.
So I think they've got a movie out right now. It's the two of them.
I think it comes out Friday, but it's A Quiet Place. Yeah,
maybe by the time you hear this,
we'll have made that announcement. I would love for the two.
But
of
yeah,
them.
The two of them, and then. Yeah, no, I think I would love that. I think he would do a great job.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And I mean, I know it's not all about this, but like he's ripped.
Yeah.
Like he is.
Well, did you know he was almost Captain America?
Yeah, I think I did know
that. It was literally down to him and Chris Evans, and Chris Evans didn't want to do it because he'd had such a bad time with being the Human Torch. And it's like, and it was like literally they say it was like this close to John Krasinski.
And I can't quite picture him as Cap. It's probably just because Chris Evans has made such an impression.
Well, it's hard to imagine John Krasinski with blonde hair.
Would they have gone that route? I guess they'd have to, but it'd be odd.
I think it's pretty important to sort of like...
Yeah.
I think it's... With some characters, the hair color doesn't really matter, but I think it actually does matter with Captain America because it's kind of important that he's like... That he's got blonde hair and blue eyes and he's like the perfect human specimen, basically, because that's like a... It refutes that Aryan ideal.
Okay.
The idea that this guy who seems like he's the perfect Nazi Superman,
but he's opposing you on all
and
those
he's
things.
Fighting the Nazis.
I can see that. Okay.
Like it's like an even, which I think that there was something to that with when Simon
in
and
the
Kirby
inception of it.
Created it.
Because yeah, like, there's not been it wasn't created by two blonde hair blue eyed guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. So anyway, yeah,
created by two. Well, I mean, I know. Jack Kirby was Jewish, but it's, I think Joe Simon
I think
was
they're
also
both Jewish guys. Yeah.
So it's like the idea that I think you would need. I mean, I'm sure that they could have found a way to make it look good. I trust them, even though they were not quite Marvel yet by the time that one came out. But yeah, I think they made the right call.
Yeah, Krasinski, I could totally see him doing Reed Richards well.
Oh my gosh! And now I'm just thinking about how perfect Chris Evans is Captain America. Like, I've loved Captain America since I was a little kid, and it's like, Captain America is Chris Evans to me now. Like, when I think of Captain America, I think of him.
Dude, it's going to be a tearjerker whenever his last scene is, when it's all... Because they already have articles coming out that they're already talking about, like, it's in the past tense. Like, he's done. I'm like, don't do that yet.
Well, no, he said the next one is his last
four.
One. Yeah. Is when... Is
Avengers 4, The Death of Captain America. they actually got title under wraps.
Yeah, yeah. Also, though, he could very well just be stoking the fire.
I don't remember if I sent this to you or not. Someone was saying, like, a neat way to wrap up his story would be, like, using the time stone to send him back to the 1940s and give him a happy ending. And I'm like, that I could see that. That could be cool.
I do not.
I don't think they will. I think he's going to die a martyr's death saving everybody, probably. But.
I don't want that either. I just want them to figure out how to keep him in these movies forever. I want to see so many Captain America movies. He's just so good. And the Captain America movies are so... And it's like... anyway, let's not talk about that.
We're going to start crying.
Yeah. But yeah, I just want to say I would completely support... Would love to see John Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic. Even though... I will say it's like... I've never pegged him as like... I started trying to think of him like doing like science talk... And I'm like, that's kind of hard to imagine.
Maybe. I know he's been in a lot of like action-y war movies. I've just not seen any of them.
Yeah, I'm not into. I mean, it's not really what I'm into.
Yeah. So, but
well, the problem is that a bunch of those ones he's in are ones that are like based on real stuff that happened fairly recently, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready to look at this kind of stuff.
I'm not the audience for that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Maybe years from now when it feels like a little less like this is still the world we're living in, you know, like, I don't know. Like, and he's doing that, that Jack Ryan TV show, where, you know, like he's playing that same character that Harrison Ford and Alec Baldwin and, Chris Pine played. And I'm like, I don't want to see Jim from The Office shooting people. I'll tell you what movie of his I have seen is Leatherheads.
I've not seen it.
Which was him. It's that like pre-NFL football movie with him and George Clooney where it's like old-timey football.
Okay.
And they're trying, it's like they're like, and they're both kind of fighting over the same woman. That movie's a delight. Just very pleasant, fun movie. And then he's done all those war movies. I'm just like, no, thank you.
If they do decide to cast him, I think it'll be great.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine. I was just trying to imagine. Obviously, the thing that I know him the most from is
The Office. That's everybody. Yeah.
And I'm just like, imagining Jim trying to say that, like, technobabble. But, you know, maybe they would find a way to make it not be so technobabble. Right.
And if he can't get it on the first take, they can just take it to another take.
Yeah. We got all the time in the world. They're like, we got all the time in the world, Jim. And he's like, my name's actually John.
And sure, a Fantastic Four Homecoming coming to theaters tomorrow. Surprise.
Surprise. I wish Marvel would pull something like that, because they're basically the only people who could is just go like, boom, we dropped a movie. You didn't even know about it.
So J.J. Abrams did that recently with the Cloverfield movie. Just dropped
that.
It's not the same, but it was on Netflix. It's proof of concept. You could do something like that. Yeah. I don't know how you would in an actual theater with no advertising. Yeah.
Movie theaters might not go for it. But man, Marvel, throw some weight around. Disney, get some... Let's see what happens. Get weird with it. I want to see you guys... And they're starting to get weirder with stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ragnarok and, you know... All right, let's get on to some questions. Brandon sent in some of his faves of 2017, though. He said Wonder Woman, Get Out, It, The Last Jedi, Atomic Blonde, Coco, The Big Sick... Shape of Water, the new DuckTales. Have you watched any of that yet?
Just the first episode.
Okay. I also recently just finally watched the pilot, which is like two episodes.
Yeah, I watched that two episode pilot. It's good.
And it was great. I don't know why I waited so long to watch it. For some reason, I just kept like... I do this thing where I put things off that I actually want to do. You know, things that I'm excited about, and I'll be excited about them... Oh, I can't wait till this comes out. And then it comes out, and then I go, let me hold off.
Wait on it. Yeah.
Like I haven't earned it yet. I don't know.
I need the perfect time to watch, and there's never a perfect time.
And he also said, getting mostly consistently good Superman comics, the Netflix series Glow. And, he said the biggest surprise of being a fave of 2017 is Justice League. I don't know if he means the Justice League comic or the movie. So, Brandon, you're going to have to let us know which one you meant.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Justice League comics have just been kind of so-so to me. And I like the movie. I thought it was fun, but it's definitely not perfect.
Yeah. I will say, you know, we haven't done like an extended talk about this, but it's like that movie, and especially after getting that Blu-ray and watching it again, I've watched it. At least twice now since then. I gotta say, even with all the things that are like obvious problems, there are some things in there where I'm going, I like this.
Yeah.
I can't bring myself to like not like
it. Yeah, no, it's fun. It's not the also, train wreck.
I mean, obviously I'm not ever like, because I want these characters to be done well so badly. And it's like, I'm a DC person far in a, you know, like way ahead. Mm-hmm. Even though I love, there's like Marvel characters that I've loved my whole life, but like, I'm a DC. If I had to pick, I'm a DC person. Thankfully I don't have to pick, but if I did, cause they got Superman. He's my guy.
Right.
And I love the Flash. Like Flash is probably like my second favorite comic character.
Do you like the Flash in Justice League though?
I mean, it's an interesting version.
Yeah.
It's a fun, you know, they need a character that does, he doesn't feel, he's definitely does not seem like Barry Allen. But if you had said like, that guy would have, Ezra Miller would be a great Kyle Rayner.
There you go.
That would have been great. And being basically that exact same character.
Yeah.
Would have been a perfect
comic relief, the youthful, the audience's eyes on this crazy stuff going on.
He could have been perfect for that.
Yeah, I can see that.
Or he could have been, his personality is like more, well, it's not even really, but it's closer to like Wally or Bart.
Yeah. I feel like I like the TV Flash better and I could never quite separate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. Do you feel like the TV Flash actually feels like Barry Allen though?
I mean.
You may not, I mean, yeah. I don't know what your connection
is. He does. How would you make him more like Barry Allen? He feels like Barry Allen through the filter of this is a CW show.
Yeah. Oh well. Yeah. Through that, yeah. Exactly. I'm not even. Sometimes I forget to think about it in the real world terms of
that ruins it.
Of going like, but this is a CW show. Where, you know, I would just go, well, The Flash shouldn't be a CW show, you know? That what Barry Allen is actually like is not a CW show, mm-hmm. to me. I mean, like, but of course, these characters are malleable. Whatever. I'm not saying that it. When I say what Barry Allen is actually right. like, that's like so ridiculous.
Like the real Barry Allen.
Yeah, yeah. The real Superman would never do that. So yeah, whatever. He also says Shirtless Bear Fighter was one of his favorite comics from 2017. And have either of us read it?
I think I flipped through the first issue in the store, but I've not read it.
I have not. I don't think I've ever. I don't think I even saw it at the store. So no. Sorry. Maybe we should check it out. He asked what our favorite podcasts are.
You got me listening to The Adventure Zone.
Oh yeah.
I'm now completely current on it.
I'm not. That's the hilarious part. Is like I was like so far into it once I got you listening to it, and then you've caught up past where I was.
Have you finished the
no,
balance?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, and that's the thing though, where I'm like, I don't want it to be over. I know that even though I'm not like mental, I'm not like.
Do you know how it ends or anything? Okay.
I'm the last episode is basically all that's left, and I just keep putting it off. It's the same way that so when David Tennant left Doctor Who, it took probably like 2 years before I finally watched his last episode, and I had already watched the entire like first season of the next guy who was going to be the Doctor.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I've got anything like that I purposely put off watching the last.
But I don't always do it on purpose. It's not like.
So it's subconscious.
It's subconscious, yeah. I just go, I'll listen to this later. Like, you know, with that DuckTales, even though everybody was saying how good it was, I think that's also a thing sometimes is when I'm like really excited about something.
It's like Grayson.
Yeah. And like people are talking about it being good, then I worry it's not going to be like. And it's something I'm like all excited about reading or watching or whatever. And then I start to get nervous that it's going to be a letdown.
So you're waiting for expectations to go back down a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Catch it on a day where you're neutral.
Because the way people were talking about DuckTales, and even though like I know people that were like working on that show, and I was like, I know these are good people, you know, like good at their jobs, I mean. And like when they announced the cast, everything with like when they first announced that show, what seemed like, and when they were like, and the show starts and whenever, and I was like, that's forever. I can't wait that long. You know, and then next thing you know, it feels like I'm already right. like missed the entire first season or something. Yeah, but it's one of those things where you go, and I'm just now realizing that's probably what I'm doing is that it's subconsciously I'm going, you're too excited about this. It's gonna, and if you watch it now, it's gonna be a letdown. Let your expectations like get down a little bit again, yeah. So then you can watch it at a normal level or something. Anyway. Anything besides Adventure Zone?
Podcasts. Reply All.
Okay.
Just a kind of technology, internet, you know, culture podcast. It's pretty interesting. I'm sure there's others. I'm going blank.
I love How Did This Get Made. I love the two. This How Did This Get Made and James Bonding are probably the podcasts I listen to the most right now. But there's plenty that I like. Benito Sereno and Chris Sims just started a new podcast on Easter called Apocrypals. That is, they're going to be going through all of the Bible episode by episode. I think it's book by book. They're going to be going through the Bible and talking about like Benito is a history expert, okay. You know, but not just history as in this is when this stuff happened. Like, he knows the history of everything, it seems like how stuff got to this, or it's like if anything.
So just like the flow of human civilization
and
broad
just
stuff.
Books and language and like, oh, this is where that word comes from. And he just kind of seems to know about
Smart
anything
dude.
As long as it's a certain amount of old.
Okay.
But he knows about current stuff too. And he's a hilarious person, great writer, good dude, just all around. Same goes for Sims. I mean, they both know tons of stuff. They're both like walking repositories of trivial knowledge in very different areas. And, like both of them, I'm like constantly, like, I feel like I'm someone who like people that know me in real life, you know, and sort of know me outside of knowing me from Twitter or comics or podcasts or whatever, like amongst real life friends who I interact with on, and like all growing up, I felt like I was a person who people were like, oh, don't play Trivial Pursuit with Chris.
Yeah.
Because he just has, it's not fair. It's like he's cheating. He knows too much. And like, so I always thought I knew a lot of trivial information, and especially about like comics and stuff like that. But then like,
these guys are next level.
These guys, I'm just like, I can't even fathom how you can keep it all in your brain. And it's amazing. You know, I'm not like, it's not, I'm flabbergasted by it. It's amazing. But yeah, so check that out. I'll put all this links to all this stuff in the show notes. I'm excited to see where that show goes. And it was funny too, because they put it out because it was Easter, but it also coincidentally was April Fool's Day.
Right.
And they're like, I know this sounds like a joke, but we really do have a new show that's, and there's some other, we don't have time for me to get into some of the other ones, but there, other people we know have got some new, also you could always listen to Supergirl Gab, which is another show that I do regularly.
By the CW Supergirl.
Yeah. Which that show actually doesn't bother me as like, it doesn't seem like it's wildly out of character. Kara on, anyway, that's probably the best version of her that they've done. Anyway, let's, so there's some podcasts. Anyway, at Fizz versus the World asks, do you wish the UCWF made a serious return in comics, or would that be one Miss Marvel too many? Now, do you know what the UCWF is?
UCWF.
So in, I think it was in the 80s, there was a, they made this, I can't remember what UCWF stands for. It's like Universal Championship Wrestling Federation or something. But it was the thing fought in the UCWF. And it was like a wrestling federation for like big superpowered characters.
Superman recently did something like that. Ultimate Class or what was that?
Oh, in... at the end of the New 52? Like
Greg Pak's Superman, didn't he?
Yeah,
have him
there was something like that? With that. Yeah, yeah.
What book was this, the Marvel Wrestling?
This was like back in the 80s. I want to say it was maybe in that like, what was that? What's the thing book? Marvel 2-in-1?
2-in-1, yeah.
Was that what it was called back then too?
Yeah, yeah.
I want to say that it was maybe in that, or maybe just in the Thing's book.
Yeah, the Thing had a book for a little bit, and then yeah, 2-in-1. Well, he was usually one of the two.
But it was around in Marvel for a little while. I would love to see that. They did a thing with, I feel like in that Drax run recently where that CM Punk was writing or co-writing or whatever.
I didn't read that one. Did they have some of that kind of stuff in there?
It seemed like, yeah, there was something like Drax ended up getting into some kind of fighting tournament, something like that. I'd love to see that. I don't know much about the real, like what it was, what the deal with it was in the comics at the time, other than like, I sort of vaguely know what it was.
Right.
I don't know any story specifics.
Yeah, I don't either.
It was just, it was like a little bit, I think, like, I guess like a little bit before my time for like when I would have been reading it as it was happening. I guess I just was not, it was like a little bit before my time. But I'm all for it. Let's see. At John Hex Lives asks, what... I'm sorry, these are all wrestling questions. What wrestling faction do you think Abraham Lincoln would be best suited in? And then he said, place the Bullet Club in their appropriate lantern groups. All right, John, this is a great question. I'm going to have to take this one off the air with the Bullet Club part. I'm going to go through the, I think I'm going to go through the Bullet Club, and then I'll try to make up a graphic.
Bullet Club's also a wrestling thing?
Yeah, they're a wrestling... faction.
Yeah, we'll
like
let you
a team.
Field that one.
I think maybe I'll try to go through and like do a graphic of who would go where. Also, yeah, I don't know that Matt knows enough wrestling factions to know where Abraham Lincoln would go. I can't think of a good wrestling. I can't think of a faction that he would be a good fit for. If you could somehow get him and George Washington together, and they could be the new mega powers of the ancient American history, that'd be pretty cool. I'd like to see that. Maybe I'll draw that. I should draw that for like a print for
like
Patreon.
The tag team wrestlers.
Yeah. So the mega
Lincoln,
powers,
Washington.
The mega powers was in the late. It was the period in the late 80s where Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage teamed up, and they formed this tag team, but they weren't just a tag team. I mean, they were a tag team, but they weren't just a tag team. It was basically like, then they were together sort of all the time, like watching each other's backs. And like, mm-hmm. it was a very, very cool, exciting time of wrestling. And oh, it just seemed like the coolest thing in the world. The Mega Powers. And when they finally, the whole point of the thing was like to bring them together to then get to the point where then they blow up and have to fight each other.
Oh, okay.
It was like, it's all a build to that. That was the payoff, was then them fighting. And I just remember seeing the thing where it was like the, I guess it was at WrestleMania, was it? I don't know. I was a very small child when this happened. and it was like the promo thing for it. It was like, the Mega Powers explode. And I just remember we had, it was me and the kids I was telling you about across the street, Matthew and Travis. It was like, and it was either WrestleMania or SummerSlam or something, some big pay-per-view. And we had all gotten like Slurpee or Icy or whatever, like collector's cups of whatever that wrestling thing was that we were had while we were watching it. Because Peggy would not let me get wrestling pay-per-view. She didn't even really like me watching it on regular TV, right. But much less was she going to pay for it.
Because they're pretty expensive, right?
Yeah. And especially in, you know, 80s dollars. But even what's makes that even funnier is how into wrestling she is now. And it's like, where was this version of you when I was growing up? But but Matthew and Travis's parents across the street, their dad was just enough into it that where it was when something was like a real big deal and the kids wanted it so bad,
he'd get the pay-per-view.
He would get the pay-per-view. But also they only had like two pay-per-views a year, so it was not as big. It wasn't like more than one a month like now. But we were just out of our minds excited about this thing. And we had our big like ICs in the collector's cups with the, you know, them on it. Watching it, and I remember I, at some point something happened and we were so excited and I knocked mine over and spilled it on their like beige carpet. And of course it's like bright cherry red. Yeah. And I spilled it on their beige carpet and I immediately just like didn't try to clean it. I just like started crying and walked out the door back across the street to my house and was just thinking about how none of them are my friends.
They're never gonna have me over again.
Yeah. They're not my friends anymore. Like they must hate me now. And then eventually, like, someone came and got me. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, come back up, you know. Why are you over here crying? Like, anyway, very much like now. I cried a lot as a little kid, probably. So I have no idea. Yeah, that's my best answer for that. Now I have to draw that. Abe Lincoln and George Washington as the Mega Powers. Adam P. Nave asks, why are all Green Lantern rings? Wouldn't a Green Lantern earring be a good place? Then, look, Ma, no hands. Sure, the energy would come from the side of your head, but still. I ain't saying... Oh, I'm not going to read that. That took a turn. He says, why not? Why aren't there... You know, why not more options?
The Indigo Lanterns had, like...
Staffs.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's that famous Alan Moore story about the...
The bell.
Yeah.
F-sharp bell.
F-sharp bell. Oh, what a great thing. Just where they're having to try to explain it like to him. He's like, well, we've got the, what's a lantern?
What's like, light?
Yeah. What's green? which is hilarious. Cause it's like, yeah, of course. Why? Great idea. I don't know why the lantern, it's like in the '90s after Zero Hour when, that guy got Dr. Fate's helmet and melted it down into a knife.
No, I don't remember that. Okay. That's funny though.
Yeah. So it's like you could take the ring and if the rings can change size based on what.
And they've gone back to explore like the history of the Guardians and forming the Green Lantern Corps that it's gone through different iterations. It's been gauntlets and other stuff as they've been trying to figure out what they wanted. But yeah, who knows why they settled on rings. And most of them are rings, even though there's a few variations. Most of the Corps have some kind of ring.
Yeah, I think it would be super cool for them to do other stuff with it. Make it into like a grill or like a gold tooth, a green tooth. And so then all of your constructs are just shooting out of your mouth. That would be horrible, but you know.
Yeah, that's kind of what the Red Lanterns, don't they kind of
they vomit
lava at you?
Yeah. Which, oh man, the the Green Lantern animated series does such a cool job of making that not look ridiculous like it does in the comics. I can't think of another thing immediately that would be like a good fit. Like, because a necklace, you go like, it's too easy to get a necklace pulled off.
Yeah. I'm thinking like with the, I guess the Nova Corps, which is Marvel's analog, it's their helmets.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Is it all in the helmet? I guess I never really thought about it.
The helmet's how they connect with Xandar, and I think it's the power kind of flows through that.
Nerd.
Yeah.
You knew the answers. Nerd test, you failed. Well, I know that Sam, I guess he does basically get turned into one when he finds his dad's mm-hmm. helmet. He like puts it on or something and then turns into Nova.
So if your helmet's on the Fritz, you don't have powers.
Oh, great.
So it's very much, that's
the seems ring. Like a bad idea to put all the important stuff in a thing that's going to be getting hit all the time. They should have that stuff worked into something where people can't just, like, they can't cut your hand off and take the ring or, you know, they.
Right.
I don't know what the answer is, but yes, I'm all for more options.
It's maybe some kind of implant where it's inside you.
That sounds bad too, because like then they're just they're
super
trying to
pacemaker or something.
They're trying to dig it. The bad guys are trying to stab it out of you. I don't know. Can it just be in my belt? You know, in like one of my utility pouches, and the bad guys don't know which one it necessarily is coming from.
It's just something you put in your pocket.
Yeah. Put it on your keychain and then lose. No, then you'd never lose your keychain because you'd just be like, ring this way, you know.
Yeah.
Green keychain doesn't have quite the same ring to it. I'll put in the rim shot in editing. All right, and so the last question. At Levi Gribben asks us, this one's going to be tough because I don't think we're going to have a ready-to-go answer, but maybe we will. Best single issue of Superman of all time. Caveat, it has to be one that hasn't been adapted, so no Black Mercy, etc.
All-Star Superman's been adapted.
But not everything from it. So I might cheat and say issue 10 of All-Star Superman.
Which one's 10?
The one where it's basically has to like, he goes through all that stuff in like a day where it's like, it's the one, the cover's got him holding.
You're right.
Got the whole world in his hands.
I just had to think, I usually kind of read it all together, so I had to separate out what 10 was. Yeah, that's
that issue was actually the first comic that I bought the day I got my iPad, my first iPad. I bought that issue so that I could show Peggy what comics were like on the iPad.
I wonder what mine was.
We just sat, and it was so neat. We just sat there on the couch and read that issue together.
Oh, that's awesome.
And also using the guided view.
The panel to panel.
Yeah. And she got to see what it was like, why it was so cool to me, why I was so excited about it. And we just read that whole, and she liked the issue, and she had some questions about Superman.
Oh, wow.
It was a cool little thing. Speaking of, you know what? I started to say, speaking of, I'm going to not say that. I'll just save it for when we can do some kind of real announcement about it. I'll tell you about this when we stop recording. Also, I should check and make sure this has still been recording. Man, if I looked at this and I hadn't hit record, oh my gosh. Anyway, let's go with that.
I'll probably say something from All-Star 2 or maybe, you know, Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, something like that.
Yeah, or, you could say, another one that comes to mind, what's that, you know, what's so
great about Truth, Justice, American Way?
Yeah, but they have adapted that.
They've adapted that too. Yeah.
Man, and none of those adaptations, come close to how good the actual comics are. And Levi Gribben actually said something about that too, so... that's a great question, though, Levi.
That's good.
This is a question I will think about
more. I'm definitely going to think about
it. I'm going to think about a lot more, but we've got a timeout because Matt's got to get out of here, pick some kids up. But thank you guys so much for listening. Matt, is there anything you want to plug?
No, nothing in particular.
Follow Matt on Twitter at XAMattDrain. The link to that and to everything else, as always, will be in the show notes at keepitclosetome.com. You can find all the stuff on there. Thank you, everyone, so much to everyone that supports the show on Patreon. Patreon.com/TheChrisHaley. You get episodes early. You get stuff in the mail. And I know that I am way behind on sending stuff out in the mail. We've moved. And look, I'm bad at it. I'm bad at getting to the post office. because I do so much stuff at night, and the post office has got these crazy hours where they're like only open in the daytime. It's weird. But so it's mostly their fault, not mine. But thank you guys for being patient and for bearing with me on that. I've got stacks. I've got literally like stacks of cool things to send out to you just waiting to get to you. It's all, so much of the stuff is made. It's just a matter of me being able to get it out to you. But I promise I think about it every single day. And it will all get to you eventually. Thank you so much, though, for the people that do support the show. Anyone that's left tweets about when the show comes out, that's super helpful. Leave us a review on iTunes. Give us a 5-star review. All that stuff, mega, mega helpful. Can't thank you enough for it, for the people that have done that stuff. I guess that's about it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Matt, thank you for being here. This has been a fun one. Once again, thought it was not going to take very long, and we just went on and on. But I like when that happens, because I think that's where the good stuff actually does happen. And thank you for listening, and I guess I will just leave you with this.